of the human pyramid at Carrara. Although one person I think has just about forgotten it is Jeff Rains. Jeff, welcome to the Kutubis.
Yeah, thanks very much.
You played in that game.
Very distant memories.
How well do you remember it?
Oh, look, I can remember the ball coming out of the centre. I didn't know Tony McGinnis kicked it, but I remember Simon getting it and the infiltration of those loyal Bear supporters. They helped us out. We needed every win we could get in those days.
And they actually built a human pyramid, didn't they, to try and block the goal.
There's strange people up there on the Gold Coast, aren't they?
They could have employed that pyramid every week.
We needed it, I can assure you.
They were strange times. You were playing in a ground on the Gold Coast that most of us only ever saw on the TV. Mm. What was the ground like?
Actually, the ground was fantastic. Great surface, very much like the MCG in size. So it suited my game style, but... surrounding that, we had ACCO sheds that we warmed up in, and obviously the air conditioning was working full time. Actually, they named for a nomad footballer I was in the end, after three or four clubs, they named a restaurant after me, the Range Restaurant, and it was in a tent. So I thought that was pretty appropriate after 14 years of football, but anyway, I got something named after me. It's no longer there, by the way.
Having once gone to Carrara, I think the grandstands looked like they were made out of Lego. And it was a very strange way big place because that was after the toucan ban had come in Melbourne, and you could only get two cans at a time, and they had to be open. Yeah. Where up in Queensland, you could get as many as you like.
Well, they had plenty. They loved it. They'd rock up there, the supporters, and they'd have a three-piece band playing, and they had barbecues going out in the open. And look, it was quite good. I remember speaking to Dermot Breton once when they arrived, and we knocked Hawthorn over on one occasion, and a couple of the Collingwood players. Are so different to rocking up at, say, the MCG or at Collingwood at Victoria Park. You'd roll up there and it's this party, casual atmosphere, and I'm sure we got some of the sides off guard, but memorable days.
Did that affect you as a player? Because you'd been at three very professional clubs, Richmond, Collingwood and Essendon, before going to Brisbane. Did you have to make an effort to focus and say, well, actually, I'm playing elite level football here, given that it was a carnival?
Yeah, well, I think it was all right for us because we were used to it. It was more so the guys from Melbourne coming up. And as I said, you know, the 3 years that I was there, we didn't end up on the bottom of the ladder, didn't win a wooden spoon, which I was quite, you know, considering what we had, I thought we did reasonably well. And as I said, we tend to get them off guard with that sort of party, casual atmosphere. But I think some of the younger guys we had, that was the hardest part. You know, they were out surfing, they weren't working. And I think sometimes their footy culture was a bit different for them to focus. Whereas for me, I was probably glad to get out of Melbourne at the end, because after a rotation of three clubs, I probably got a few people out of sorts. So for me to retreat to the Gold Coast where no one knew me, and the conditions to train in, they were lovely, you know, balmy nights. Yep. And it helped my body get through probably an extra couple of years. So, you know, and I played some reasonable footy up there. So, yeah, it was good for me.
Who was coaching? Sorry, Will. Who was coaching?
Oh, we had Knighty, Peter Knights. And then the illustrious Paul Faltham took over for some funny reasons. But, yeah, Knighty got sort of shoved out of there, which I thought was a bit sad at the time because he'd worked really hard.
He was the inaugural coach.
Yes, he was.
Although Paul Faltham has got an enormous strike rate, hasn't he?
Well, he got the strike rate. I think Knighty, looking in... If you really reflect back, Knighty put in all the hard yards, and we were struggling. Faltham took us over, and I think we won five or six straight. So I don't think Knighty was real happy with that. But anyway, good luck to Paul. He did reasonably well there, and he didn't last that long.
Yeah.
You made a good point, you know, Jeff. You said the young fellas, when you were at Brisbane, were just playing football. When you started, you would have been in the workforce, probably all through your football career. Did that help you? Having something else to focus your energies and divert your attention? If you were playing today, just playing football, do you think you would sour?
Well, look, I think I would have an interest, and I'm encouraging young Andrew, my son, to have an interest outside football. But look, the constraints and the demands on the players these days, I'd in fact love to be playing today. You know, I think it's just set up to really cash in on what you've got to deliver. You know, our days where we'd work, you know, I'd have to make up time at Esso. I was working at Esso at the time. I had to make up time in the morning because I had to knock off early to get to training. And then with the likes of Tony Jewell and all those, you know, they just bash you on Tuesday night. Wake up Wednesday morning and you know, cold Melbourne winter, really struggle to get out of bed. So, look, it was pretty tough trying to combine the two. And, I think every kid that's got a chance to play AFL football these days should take it with both hands.
Absolutely.
Because it's delivered to them beautifully. But they've also got to deliver, and they're under enormous pressure within football and outside football, as we've seen in the press.
How does Andrew handle that pressure?
Andrew handles it pretty well, actually. He had a year last year where he needed to step up. Terry's looking for him to step up, and I think he did that, and he consolidated position. His challenge this year is to obviously hold that position and go forward. But, you know, he handles it pretty well.
And did Andrew do most of his growing up in Queensland?
Yeah, he came down as a seven. Well, he actually went up there in 86 when he was born as a one-year-old and stayed to his 17.
He was born as a one-year-old.
Sorry. Let me go back. He was 1 year old when he went to Queensland. He was born in Melbourne.
Right. And but how's he found adjusting to being a Melbourne resident after living his whole life in Queensland?
Well, we've always had family and connections here, so we've always come back on a regular basis. And Andrew loves Melbourne. I mean, he wouldn't get him back to. He loves going back to see his mates and a bit of swimming and surfing on the Gold Coast. But I think Melbourne's where he really, really wants to stay.
Just getting back to the Bears, you were there during the party time. But I think it was Jason Ackermanis said that after the Bears broke through that first Brisbane Lions flag, that the Brisbane Lions had come from further behind than any club in the history of football to win that flag. Back then, 88, the day Simon Beasley had to kick the footy over a human pyramid to kick a goal, did any of you ever think that the then Bears were ever going to win a flag, much less contest a final?
Obviously, we knew it was going to be tough work, but no one can read into the future that far. But they certainly did a good job in what was their first premiership year? 90. I'm really going back.
First final was 95.
95, that's right. But, their premiership year is probably something like 15, 16 years on. It's not a bad record. Poor old Tigers are struggling.
Yeah.
I played in the last one in 1980. So they're not easy to come by. Yeah. And Brisbane's done exceptionally well.
And you must be delighted at the progress of young Andrew. And it's been said of Andrew Raines that he looks more like his father than his father did himself.
So I can't really get my head around that one, but it's not a bad comparison, is it?
But few players have come into the game making as much impact as Andrew. You must be very delighted to see that happen.
Yeah, well, look, as I said, there were some challenges, still are in front of Andrew, but I think, he put his hand up last year and he really focused, and I think he runs hard straight at the ball and carries the ball. Occasionally you get caught, but Terry encourages him to carry the ball. He's got to go on with it now.
I reported on the Kudamans last year, I think, that in a one game against the Crows, he did one particular dash in the third quarter, which I feel turned the game and stitched it up. That was the day the Tigers beat the Crows with the ring of roses.
Right, yeah.
And Andrew Raines himself went a long way to securing the 4 points that day. Wonderful player.
Well, he actually played on Rusciutto that day, and I remember him coming home. They'd got belted the week before. They were depleted. And he said, they're going to play him on Rusciutto. And I just said, good luck. Good luck. But he actually did pretty well. And I'll never forget, he actually, I think it was late in the third quarter, Rusciutto came to tackle him, and he shrugged and fended Rusciutto off, which is no mean feat. So maybe got lucky that day, but I'm sure Rusciutto will be looking forward to the next challenge. That's what I've said to him.
Have you been into Andrew's ear over the years, Jeff, or do you pretty much leave him alone, leave him to his coaches and let him develop his own or inform himself as to how he plays?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Andrew's his own individual as much as all the comparisons that I've made, but look, I'll give him some advice in areas I think that can help him, but I don't overdo it, I don't overuse it, and, Terry's his coach, so he's got to be in the hands of Terry, and he's in good hands.
Mm. And yourself, I mean, other than being Andrew's father, do you have another connection, any connections with footy at the moment, with clubs? Or?
No, not really. Like, obviously, delighted to be back, probably at my home, which was Richmond, where I played probably my best football and premierships and best and fairest, and enjoying watching Andrew's progress.
And how about footy in general? Are you enjoying watching footy? I mean, it's changed so much from when you were playing. There's lots spoken about the patterns of play and just whether or not it is a good thing. What's your view on it, Jeff?
Well, it's obviously changed, and it's, a lot of chipping and a lot of possession and overuse of the ball. And, my observation, even Richmond last week, I reckon we overused it, overpossessed it, and we tried to hit targets or impossible short targets into the forward line. I reckon if you've got that situation, you've got to go long, 50-50, you've still got Richardson, Schultz, you've got some tall timber up there, and I don't think that should ever go out of the game. Long kicking to position, and that's something I really miss.
Four words. Long bombs to Roach.
Long bombs to Roach.
Exactly, yes.
That's what I was going to say. Get it down to Royce.
Well, we had Roachy when I was playing. Yeah. Roachy continually kicked 100 goals.
He could convert.
You know, we had Jimmy Jess as a target, and we had Michael Roach. And we had small crummers like KB, Robbie Wiley, Barry Rowlings, Dale Waitman. And it seemed to work for us, and I think the formula should be still there. But, yeah, look, it's changed. You've got to possess the ball and then set your attack up. But in doubt, I believe, you should go long to a tall target.
And it's certainly what all the supporters want to see too, Jeff.
I think they do.
I think the people have spoken on this one. Jeff, thanks very much for joining us here this afternoon on the Kudamine Champions. You're heading off to now watch your son Andrew play.
Yeah, well, I'll be doing that. I just got to go to a little lunch with Greg Miller with some sponsors there, so that should be enjoyable. And, yeah, hopefully, as I heard you guys introduce before about the game, that as long as Richmond are accountable, you know, we'd hope for a win, but maybe not. But I think as long as we're going forward in the development of these young kids and they get their 50 to 60 to 70 games under their belt, that's the key issue.
That's what you want to see. Jeff Rates, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kudamine Champions.
Thank you very much.
You're with the Kudamine Champions live at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. We're just inside the gates.